Good morning, Lord. We love. Good afternoon, Lord.
Yes. Let's get real.
Yeah, get real. Wake up. We just love you, Lord, and we want so much to learn how to pray in agreement with you, how to come into your very presence and know your heart and know your thoughts. Pray what you're praying, pray into what you're doing, and then we know that we have the petitions we ask of you. So we ask you to quicken your word today, Lord, and just deal in our minds, our hearts, our spirits, and our wills, and just open us up in the name of Jesus. Amen. Psalm 18, I really feel loud. Psalm 18 is where I've been praying from for a few weeks. I have taken it apart into pieces, but the general overview of it, and it's a long one, so I don't want to read the whole thing this morning because we're not going to go through it all, but this is the chapter of David's song after he had beat all of his enemies and won the war and had the victory. So when he gives this psalm, he's actually also sharing how he came to that point, what God has done for him and been for him in order to bring him to that point in his life where he could say, I have leaped over a wall, I have scattered my enemies, I have stamped them down like dust, and they can't rise up again. So when I saw the victory David had, I said, I want to pray and live the way David did in order to have that victory. So I went back and I began to take it apart. So in the beginning, he says, to the chief musician, a psalm of David, the servant of the Lord, who spoke unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord delivered him from the hand of all his enemies and from the hand of Saul. And he said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my buckler, and the horn of my salvation, and my high tower. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be saved from my enemies. So we're going to call upon the Lord, but we're not just going to call upon the Lord. We're going to go back to verse 2. I had a vision a couple months ago, I think. I have no concept of time. But in the vision, Jesus brought me to a transference of how I saw things. Instead of him being in me, everywhere I go, living through me, he said, I want you to come inside of me. And he took me inside of him, right up by his heart. And now when I pray, I look at this word rock, and I say, that is a place to hide. That is a place, when you're inside of a rock, you are so covered, you are so surrounded, you are so safe. So when everything, all the shooting is going on, the enemy is throwing darts at you and shooting his machine gun and throwing his flames, they can't get through the rock. So we need to be inside of him. We also need to be on him before we can get in him. So we're going to look at the word rock. The Lord is my rock. Exodus 33. I'm going to try to get there quickly. Exodus 33, verse 21 and 22. And the Lord said, behold, there is a place by me. Thou shalt stand upon a rock. And it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, I will put you in the cleft of the rock, and I will cover you with my hand while I pass by. And I'll take away my hand, and you shall see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So Moses was put on the rock and then in the rock. And that rock is Jesus. That's our safe place. Look at Matthew 7. We're going to jump all over here. Matthew chapter 7, verse 24. Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man who built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon that house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. So the Lord is saying, if you hear him and do what you hear him say, you will be on a solid rock. When we try to pray what we want to pray and hope God will do it, it's always iffy. Maybe he'll do it. I hope he'll do it. I want him to do it. This is what I'd like him to do. But when you get inside of him, when you base your prayer on the solid rock of what he said and agree with him, then you know that he's going to hear your prayer and answer it. Jesus is our solid rock. We need to be founded on him. Obedience to God and to what he's saying is our confidence. Cecil said last night when he was over that he heard someone say, I think Graham Cook, the true test of spirituality is how you respond in an emergency. And just stop and think about that for a minute. I always have to walk around until I see every face you're hiding. Men, if they lose their job and they have a family and wife and kids, and they lose their job and they have no income, that's a kind of an emergency that can really shake a guy. And what am I going to do? How am I going to feed the kids? How am I going to keep my family in a home? They can really panic over something like that. Women are more likely to panic over death and divorce and, you know, emotional type things. But if you panic in the time of an emergency, that says I don't really trust God, because he's in control of everything. Even our emergencies, that's our Romans 8. All things work together for good. If you love the Lord and you're called according to his purpose, he knows what has to happen today so that tomorrow you'll be a stronger person. So that tomorrow you don't face something worse and you're not ready for it. So trusting him is staying on the solid rock of confidence that God is my God. I stand on Jesus. I do what he says. And I know whatever comes my way is going to be good for me. Even if it's hard, it will be good for me. Look at 1 Peter chapter 2, starting in verse 4 through 10. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, we're talking about Jesus, you also as lively stones are built up as a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore, where did I say I was reading to?
4:10.
Okay. Wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believes on him shall not be confounded, shall not be confused. Unto you therefore which believe he is precious, but unto them which are disobedient, that stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them that stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. What did the priests do? They went in and offered for the people. They stood as the go-between from the people and God. They went in and made sacrifice and offering. As prayer ministers, we are going into God for people. So you are his priests today. You go into God for the needs of people, for the mercy that those people need. You're the intercessor. A holy nation, a peculiar people that should show forth the praises of him who's called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In times past, we were not a people. Now we are the people of God. Before, we had not obtained mercy, but now we have obtained mercy so that we can go in there. I'm going to give you a couple. Now let's just look them up. We got time. Go back to Psalm 18. You would really enjoy reading that entire psalm and praying through it every morning. Because there's just so many awesome things. And maybe we'll get through the others. Like, you know, when I see him as a fortress, a fort around me, I see walls built of truth, solid truth all the way around me that keeps me safe. You know, and that's just awesome, the whole thing. But go down to verse 31 right now and deal with the rock again. For who is God save the Lord? Who is a rock save our God? God is our rock. Jesus is our rock. Go to Psalm 27, verse 5. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me upon a rock. In the time of trouble, he will hide us if we go to him in that time of trouble. He'll put us on a solid, sure foundation. Verse chapter 31, still in Psalm. Bow down thy ear to me and deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock, for a house of defense to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Go to Psalm 40, verse 2. He brought me also up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set my feet upon a rock, and he established my goings. Okay, the first part of this is being on the solid rock of Jesus, okay? If you are not on the rock of Jesus, the second part won't work for you. To be on the rock of Jesus, he has to be your rock. You have to have him as the foundation of your life. He has to be what your whole life is about. You've forsaken sin. It doesn't mean we don't sin, but we hate sin. We don't want sin. We have chosen God. We have accepted Christ as our Savior. And we are basing our life on him. He is the way I'm going to go. He's my guide. He's the one I'm following. He is my life. Now, if you are on the rock, then you can get in the rock. And that's the part where it gets really, really exciting. Go to Isaiah. This is the part I love. This is what I look for every morning, is just to get inside of him. Inside of Jesus. Oh, chapter 2. Verse 10. Enter into the rock and hide thee in the dust for fear of the Lord and for the glory of his majesty. When you come inside of him, when you get inside of Jesus, and you just lay yourself down like dust. God, I have nothing. I am nothing. Everything I think I know is flesh. Everything I want to ask you is my thoughts, my ways, my fears, my needs. But God, I throw it all down like dust. And I just want to be inside of you. I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your words. I need your wisdom. I need your comfort. I need to be right up by your heart. That's where I want to be. And there, in that place, let me find that verse again. Where was it? Verse 10. The glory comes. That's where the glory comes. That's where the light comes. Lois, are you raising your hand or are you just... Oh. Yeah? A reference on this one? Isaiah 2. 10. It's going to get better. It's going to get better. But this is the place where we come inside of his holiness. Right into where we see the beauty of the glory that Moses got to see. See, God put him on a rock and then he put him in the rock. And then he passed before him and he saw all the goodness of God. That is the beauty of his holiness. That is the glory. It is his goodness. It is his character. It is who he is. And when you get inside of him and you see who he is, it's like, wow, the lights just came on. Wow, I just melted. It is awesome. Go to Song of Solomon. I like it. You know what Song of Solomon is listed in abbreviation? SOS. I like that. Chapter 2. Verse 14. O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs. 2:14. I'll start again. O my dove, that are in the clefts of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me see your countenance. Let me hear your voice, for sweet is thy voice and thy countenance is comely or beautiful. When all of life is falling around, when somebody is asking you for help and you don't know what to do. But basically every morning when I wake up, you know, every afternoon and every evening again, several times a day when I hit that place in life, to come into his presence, to come into that secret place. It's like going underneath the stairs and hiding. Did you have a hiding place when you were a kid? We had a house in Flint. I didn't want that house. Harvey wanted to buy it, fix it up, and sell it. And I was like, it's an ugly old house. I don't want that house. You know, it's junk. But I went home, and God gave me a vision of how it was going to look after we were done. But underneath the staircase, there was a door. And you could open the door and go into that little hiding nook under the stairs. And the Lord said, I want you to put a flowery wallpaper, pink stuff. a little rug, a little table, all these girly things, and a little kitty chair, because there's going to be a little girl that's going to live here, and that's going to be her little hiding place. And it was the sweetest. I went in that little hiding place myself. It was so cute. I loved it in there. Oh, and when I was a kid, I didn't have a hiding place. I shared a room with my sister, and there was no... Actually, there was. It was an attic I went in, but there were bushes out back, beautiful bushes, and there was a clearing behind them, and you could go behind them and sit in the bushes and feel all alone there, you know? But inside that rock is your hiding place. When you can't take life, when everything is coming against you, when it's time to pray for someone else, because that's what we're here for. How do we be prayer ministers? You need to go into the hiding place. It doesn't matter what they're saying. It doesn't matter what they think they need. It doesn't matter what the problem is. If you can get inside the rock, if you can get under that staircase, and you can get into the very presence of God, and just let Him tell you what He wants to pray, what He wants to do. Let the Holy Spirit rise up in that place. We have been in some places lately in our prayer training. We had the week of click, 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 and then we had ho, ho, sha, sha, and then we had move your feet, maybe run around the room, stomp and dance. But you know what? It's really not about doing those things. It's about allowing anything. It's about allowing. Today we're coming back. We're coming back down to what is prayer about. But hopefully in the last 3 weeks or so, you have broken out of bondage, broken out of the fear of man, broken out of the fear of manifestations. What if I shake? What if I look stupid? What if I sound funny? Who cares? Now, He's let you act so silly, so funny, and so ridiculous. But the point is, let the Holy Spirit be free. And have a point, have a purpose. It's not about running around and being silly. But don't restrict Him. Because when you're in prayer and the Holy Spirit gets stirred up, you're likely to shout, you're likely to shake, you're likely to clap, you're likely to let Him move. So He's broken you out of that fearfulness. But now let's come back to the point. The point is to let the Holy Spirit pray. The point is oneness. Oneness with Him. John 17, my favorite chapter. Jesus wants us to be one with Him. Exactly like He was with the Father. Exactly. What a privilege that He will come and live inside of us and allow us to be one with Him. If we could only live from that place. If we could only live from that place. Psalm 62, starting in verse 2. I forgot to charge this. I hope it doesn't go dead. Verse 2-8. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be greatly moved. Do we get moved in an emergency? Yeah, I'm afraid so. Do we get shaken up when things go wrong? Yeah, we do. But David said, I won't be greatly moved. I won't be greatly moved. I won't give up. I won't be hopeless. I won't give in because I'm going to trust God. How long will you imagine mischief against a man? You shall be slain, all of you. As a bowing wall, shall you be, and as a tottering fence. We're speaking to the enemies. And who are our enemies? Don't fear flesh. Fear the demonic enemies. The pride, the selfishness, the anger, the depression, the fear, the hopelessness, self-pity. All these are evil spirits. They're your enemies. Because man can't kill you. He can't hurt you. He can kill your body. He can't kill your spirit. But these spirits, they're the ones who destroy your spirit. You should be able to sit in the midst of your problem and praise God. No one can take away the fellowship inside the rock. No one can take that. They can lock you up, they can burn you at the stake, but they cannot take away your peace with God unless you give it up, unless you give it to them. They're all liars. They only consult to cast him down from his excellency. They delight in lies. They bless with their mouth, but they curse inwardly. Demons do that, you know. They make you think they're helping you, but they're liars. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. And God is my salvation and my glory, the rock of my strength, and my refuge is in God. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. When you're in need, to go in and pour out your heart before God is what you need to do. When somebody else is in need, to go in and pour out your heart before God is what we need to do. People will come and ask us to pray for things, and we need to get to the truth of matters before we can pray for someone, even ourselves. You know, because we have to come into prayer inside of Christ. And if there's things that block us from getting in there, there's sin, there's lies, there's all kinds of things that keep us from getting inside of him. So we have to come and we have to ask him to search us. What is blocking me? What is keeping me from coming in? And then when he shows us, we can rebuke it, we can confess it, and he will wash it all away. Self-pity is one of the things. Depression and self-pity, those are things that really, really, really hinder us getting into God. And we're going, but God, I need you. But God, I'm hurting. But God, I need help. But God, my husband yelled at me, and he's so mean, and he's so rude, and he doesn't love me, and he doesn't appreciate me, and I'm so wounded, and I'm so hurt, and why aren't you answering me? I really am pouring out my heart. You're pouring it out in a lie. I am wounded. That's true. I am hurt. That's true. But self-pity wants to take a truth and build a lie upon it. So maybe your husband came home and he yelled at you. Maybe he came home and he yelled at you because you didn't have any dinner ready and he was hungry and he didn't have any underclothes in the drawer. And, you know, Harvey's done that before. You know, my drawer is empty, and I tell him, well, mine's right over there. You want to borrow silk or satin? He said, I can't do that. You'd tell everybody. I said, oh, yeah, I would. I would enjoy that. So maybe he's coming home and he's had a bad day and he's grumping, he's yelling, and he's, you never do anything, you're so, you know, and he's carrying on because he's in lies. And then you go and you're telling yourself, it's just hopeless, it's depressing, it's overwhelming, and he doesn't understand, I have all these kids and I have all this stuff and I just don't have any time and I need help. He should come home and help me. And God's not answering because you're not praying truth. That's right. But if you come back and say, God, bring me to truth, I don't want to be in self-pity. I am genuinely wounded and hurt and offended. And I need to forgive my husband because he said a lot of bad things to me and he really hurt me, and I forgive him. But show me the truth and forgive me for going into self-pity. I don't want self-pity. I'd rather have your pity. And God may come back and say, he does love you. He does respect you. Just because he lost his temper and he sinned, he really does love you. He just has needs and you're not meeting them. Ouch. Now let's get honest about that. Should he work all day, come home and do laundry and cook dinner? Did you really have too busy a day to do that? Or what about that hour on the phone? And what about that hour on the computer? And what about that hour of watching soap operas? And, you know, oh, and that nap you needed and the 4 hours of wasted time today. What could you have done with just one or two of those hours more productive? You know, so there's truth involved. God, forgive me. I'm wasting my time. I am not spending my time wisely. I should have dinner. I should have laundry done. Please give me energy and strength to do what I ought to do. And, you know, you go through the truth with God, and pretty soon God shows up and he heals the wound from the mistreatment if we bring it in truth. But if we pile on spirits of self-pity, depression and lies, accusations and untruths, God cannot reach us because we're piled up with all these evil spirits. So we have to come to him in truth. Someone comes to you for prayer. A man maybe comes and says, would you pray for me? I need a job. In the flesh, we want to say, oh God, open a door of opportunity. Every man should have a job. Please give this man a job. We can't do that. We need to go inside of Jesus and say, Lord, this man says that he wants prayer for a job. Is that what you want me to pray for him? What do you want to say to him? And maybe the Lord will say, I don't want you to have a job right now. when it's time, I'll give you one. Maybe the Lord will say, oh, I have a job for you, but you're not willing to do it. Pick up the paper tomorrow and look under restaurant help and go to a restaurant and wash dishes. And the man may say, well, I don't do that kind of work. Well, if you want a job, that's the kind you're going to be doing as of tomorrow, because that's the job setting God chose for you. Now, those are hard words, but they're truth. Now, that man could wait another 8 months and still not have a job because he's not willing to take the one God has for him, which would be good for him. It would be as Romans 8. We have to speak the truth and speak it in love. But to pray what somebody wants to hear is not helping them.
Right.
It's not helping them. They might say, I need to pay my rent by Monday. And we ask God, and he says, no, I'm going to let them get evicted. And we say to them, I don't know why, brother, but the rent's not coming by Monday. Start packing. You're going to have to move. Where am I going to go? I don't know. Let's ask God that, too. Let's go back and ask him, where does he want you to go? But I want to go. I want him to pay my rent. He's not going to. Because he wants you to move. You see, we started out with faith that God would always pay our rent. Harvey and I lived through this. And then we had to move that faith over to, he's going to give us the rent on the 30th when it's due on the 1st and we can't even mail it. We have to drive it over and hand it to him. Well, then he went beyond that and he didn't pay it until 2 weeks late. We're going, Lord, I wouldn't think you want us to be late on our bills. And then he didn't pay it at all. Came to the point where he didn't pay it for 4 months. And we foolishly thought, well, we've got to borrow money then. We borrowed money from people to keep hanging in there, you know. And God still didn't pay it. He still didn't pay it. He still didn't pay it. And after there was no more to borrow and no more coming in, we finally got the message. Move. You don't live here anymore. I'm moving you. We have to find out what he's doing. We could have moved 4 months ago and got it over with, you know, and not owed somebody some personal loan. We ended up paying off a personal loan of $4,000. We kept borrowing, trying to hang in there, you know. But we have to do what he's doing. And when we pray for people, we have to hear what he's saying. And hearing what he's saying, it's not always a matter of, okay, I'm going to pray for you. Wait a minute. Now, we're in church on Sunday morning, okay? Or you're out in the store shopping. But somebody needs prayer. And you're walking around, you've been angry, you've been criticizing, you've been gossiping, you've been grumpy, you've been feeling sorry for yourself, and you've been depressed, and you've been in all these spirits. And you meet somebody who needs prayer. And they say, would you pray for me? And you go, well, give me about 30 minutes, because first I have to have God search me so I can confess all my sins, so I can get in the rock, so I can get in his presence, so I can hear his voice, so I can be in condition to pray for you. You just don't have that kind of time. There's a lot of needy people needing prayer. We need to live in prayer. We live in prayer. If you live in the attitude of prayer, what it comes down to, to live and to pray continually, like Thessalonians says, to pray continually means live in the attitude of readiness to pray. That means you confess your sin the minute you realize you sinned. Keep it confessed.
Right.
Don't wait until the list is 5 miles long. The minute you know you sinned, confess it.
Right.
Confess it. The minute you know you're in a bad spirit, rebuke it. Praise him all day long. Love him all day long. Praise and worship are different. Praise is thanking him for what he does. Worship is thanking him for who he is. Loving who he is. And if we would wake up and get ourselves inside the rock and attempt to live there, and we step out all the time. I mean, so easy. That flesh is just right out of that rock and back into the flesh all day long. But as soon as you find yourself there, deal with it and get back in, so that you're only a step or two from being where you need to be when it's time to pray for someone, especially Sunday morning. The devil's biggest attack seemed to hit on Sunday morning. He hits all God's people on Sunday morning. Don't go to church. What's the use of going to church? Having a fight with your wife or your husband or your kids, and, well, there's no reason to go. We're all in sin. We're all messed up. We're not going to be any good to God. And he doesn't want you to get here. You get here. And if you have to spend your first 5 minutes here hiding in a corner somewhere to get right, then do it. Because it's all just a trick of the devil. Amen. And if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Washes it right out. We're back in good standing. We move right back inside of Him. We need to stay in condition, stay in a place of prayer all the time. Walk with Him in oneness as much as we can and keep asking Him to draw us even more into oneness to live there. And I'm certainly not accomplishing that. I've been sick for a week, and it's really hard to be spiritual when you're sick because you basically just get up. It's kind of like depression. You wake up and go, I don't even want to read and I don't even care. I just want to sleep, you know? And you get in that bad frame of mind where I just don't even care about it. You need prayer? I don't care. Call somebody else. I don't feel good, you know? It's easy to get that way when you don't feel good or if you have a problem. But we just need to bring that to Him. How hard is it, even when you're sick, to go lay down in the bed and say, God, I just lay everything down. I'm in a rotten mood. I don't feel good. I'm really not able to read your word today. But just cover me. Put me inside of you and keep me safe. Just lay down. And it's all on Him. It's all up to Him. God, search me. If you find anything that would block me from coming into you, show me what it is. And grant me repentance. Give me truth to set me free. Because I can't set myself free from my deceptions. Sherry?
I'm trying to set myself free. Can you give a scripture verse about getting into the
world? That, well, I just gave a bunch of them. Isaiah 2:10, enter into the rock and hide. Song of Solomon 2:14, thou art in the cleft of the rock. And where we started was in Psalm 18, He is God, you are my rock, you are my rock. If you want to find more, you could look under hiding place. You'll find them under secret place, hiding place. Did you write those? You want me to say them again? Okay. She's got them all written down if you want to get them again. Psalm 62, verse 2, Psalm 94, 22. There are other verses. There's lots of them. Just, you know, Dudley asked me if he could preach again this Sunday. It was really funny. He texted Janiyah from work and said, ask your mom, can I preach again Sunday? Because God has really given me something, you know. And it's so funny because he's wanting to preach about the comparison of the days of Noah to today. And he said he listened to Misty's, I think it's on Relentless, it might be Swing Wide, Relentless, one of them was, as in the days of Noah. Well, Dudley never used to have manifestations, and now he's been having them jerking, you know, the last couple of weeks. So he's listening to Misty 8 hours, the same CD, over and over. He's just driving along doing his business, and every time, as in the days of Noah came on, he said he just starts convulsing, you know. He says, really messing with me. But anyway, he's studying this morning, and he said, I don't know how to keep this down. He said, you know, you could preach over this for a month, a day after day after day after day. And I said, yeah, you're learning what it is to really study and get in the Word. The teacher always gets more than the students because you get so much and you go, but God, I want to give them all of this. I want to give them everything. It's all so good. But you know what? You might have 20 hours of study there, but after you've spoken for 30 to 45 minutes, all the listeners are going, They don't have a 20-hour attention span. You can't feed it out that way. So you end up giving them 30 minutes to an hour. But you got the 20 hours. You got it. You own it. You have it. And if you listen to people that really, really get into the Word of God and into His presence like that, you will know. You will hear them make statements. And the Spirit will tell you, that is a loaded statement. You could go home and dig into that and find all the meat behind it. And there's so much in it. And if you want more of getting in the rock, getting in His presence, of standing in His glory, go home. Find some more. Because there's so much more. I didn't give you half of what I got this morning. But His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are higher than ours. His ways are higher than ours. Who would want to base their life on inferior ways and lies? Only the truth can walk us into freedom. Only the truth gives us strength. Only the truth will help those we pray for. So we have to come in His presence, submitting everything, being like dust, and saying, oh God, I want your heart. I want your mind. I want your words. I want your wisdom. I do not want to speak from the flesh when I pray for me or when I pray for someone else. Show me. Show me your way. And let the Holy Spirit rise up and pray through me so that it will be truth that can set them free or set me free. That's where prayer has to come from. And that's what all these weeks have been leading to, releasing the Holy Spirit to pray through us. So, whatever your prayer need is today, let's just spend a little bit of time with the Lord and lay down everything and ask Him to search you and show you anything that prevents you from coming into His very presence like that. Lay down everything and seek His face. Because His words are sweet and His countenance is beautiful. That's where we want to come from when we pray. Thank you, Jesus. We just pray that you will anoint whatever music we've put on right now and that you will bring us into your presence for whatever issue that we're here to pray about individually right now, that you will bring us into this place of your presence inside the rock. Thank you, Jesus.
could see the sea wind swirling around me. And in the midst, I felt like the Holy Spirit was taking me beyond where I've ever been. And this morning, I woke up and I was feeling really hurt by some things. And my husband prayed for me like he'd never prayed before. He helped me break agreement with the lies the enemy was telling me. He also was getting some revelation himself, seeing things more clearly himself of things we tried to change. I didn't feel anything at that time except hurt. My prayer was for God to help me get past the stupid lies that I believed to be true. I did not want to go to training today. I felt useless to the team and to my church family. I did not want the focus to be on me if I did go today. And I prayed God would consume me and just take over if he wanted me at the training today. And I heard him say, "It's for you today," which was confirmed by Glenn that I needed to be here. My prayer was answered when we got here. The Holy Spirit prompted me to tell Sue I was hurt. And of course, her love poured out on me and said, "Just tell me." And I told her, and she explained to me exactly what needed to be said. And I realized the enemy was on a war path with me, and it stopped here today.
Said, "Oh, what an awesome man you are in the real spirit self of Harvey. When you let go of the flesh guy, you're going to love your freedom and power. So just struggle out of your crusty cocoon and discover your wings, because you're going to love flying free in the spirit. You are right where I've put you, right on track, right on time, and closer than you think." Thank you. tell you something he said to me, but it wasn't something I was happy to hear. He said, what if the way we treat others is the way we treat him, the way we treat Jesus? And he said, consider people in your life. Like Tim and Mom and all the kids, all the friends. Would it be a shame if you treated Jesus the same way as you treated any of the people in your life?
Sitting out front and having coffee on our cute little front porch. And nobody was outside, and we were sitting out there praising God and just trying to start the day with Him. And then I could see the hurt in my wife's face. So I just started wailing and praying. And God revealed something to me about my wife. And how precious she surely is to me. That not only is she precious to me, she's precious to God. And God showed me how I've put her in a bubble. And I didn't even know it. In fact, I might have even been aware of it at some point. But I didn't deal with it. I didn't think about it. And this morning, as I was sitting there praying and I saw her tears, the Lord told me, and this just doesn't apply to my wife, but it applies to everybody that I come in contact with, that I need to put Glenn in the closet, lock the door, and I need to get to my knees and pray, God, what do you want? What do you want me to say? What do you want me to do? And he kept on telling me as I was praying this, he says, just listen. Don't speak. Just listen to what she has to say. So I believe this morning was a revelation for me. It not only brought that I saw my wife was hurting, but it showed me also that I've hurt her so many times by not listening. And then God said, now you know how I feel. So I broke agreement with not listening. I broke agreement with having my way. And it was so amazing. I had such peace. And it was raining, and we both were crying. And we were being cleansed because we were set free. And I just kept on saying, Lord, we only want you in us. The lies that have been told to her over the years, the lies that she's accepting now that are lies, the devil's up to subtraction and division, and it was being covered up. It was being in the dark. And it seemed like as we were sitting there, like it was all cloudy. But the sun started to show through. And God showed me that was His light that was showing through this morning. I am just so thankful. I am so blessed that God's always there. And as my brother Cecil says, don't look at the tree, look at the whole forest. You know, and that's just simple words. But this past week, I can tell you 10 incidents where I all of a sudden stopped and I looked at the forest. You know, it's all right there in front of us. What we're supposed to do, how we're supposed to react. But the devil doesn't want that. He wants to keep us divided. Well, this morning, chains were broken at our house. Chains had fallen off of both of us. And I know at that instant, it was a different kind of love. It was deeper. And I know that only came through God. What Jesus has done for all of us. So I give you praise, Lord. I give you glory. Because without you, nothing can be done. And if you're not in it, I don't want near. So I thank you, Lord, for being there 24/7. For loving us 100% unconditionally, just the way we are. And thank you for not wanting us to stay where we're at. But you're so merciful, you're so kind, that you just stand there with your open arms and you wait for us to come to the end of ourselves and to the foot of the cross. Lord, in this morning, when I walked in, I was just so thankful to be here, to be in this safe place. But you told me my home is a safe place too, because he's there too. And then when my sister, Lois, walked in, I knew that she didn't want to be here. But God wanted her here. And as I started praying over, I could just see these, and I didn't know what they were at first, but they were like waves hitting her. And then Lois said, I just feel your wave of your spirit coming on to me. And that wasn't me, that was God working through me. And then I just kept on praising him and thanking him, and she got hit in the spirit. And then Judy came in. And God showed me that she didn't want to be here today either. She wanted to be, but she didn't feel like it because she was sick. She had other things on her mind. And then my wife, who didn't want to come today. But I said, it's up to you. It's between you and God. If that's what you want, that's what God's telling you, I'm okay with that. But I told her, pray and see what God says. Pretty soon I heard the shower. And then she went into her closet area and she started gathering her clothes together. And I still wasn't sure whether she was coming to not. But I knew that God had touched her heart because we prayed about it and we gave it to him. And I know that I know that Roxanne, Judy, and Lois are all touched by God today. That they're all precious. All their thoughts, he knows every one of them. And he just smiles when you seek him and pray. And yes, you are important. You're important to us. You're important to God. And Lord, I just praise you and thank you for what you're doing in here, for what you're doing in us.